this is very exciting because into the F This Movie studio now is entering. This one is probably better. Is your wife, Jay Bones, Jan.
Hey, Jenny.
She's not here yet. She doesn't have her headphones on yet, so she can't hear you. But I think now she can hear, maybe. Are you hearing anything, Jan?
Hi, Jenny.
Yay. Hi, babe. How you doing?
Oh, my God. Get a room, you two.
Oh, sorry.
Wait, you have a room.
This is our room now.
I have a room, but no one to share it with.
Thank God. You know, actually, I love when he goes to these conferences without me because he has a great time, and I'd probably just be a drag, and he has a great time. But it's horrible when he comes home because then it's like every night before bed, he's like, where's my magic show? Where's my... Where's my gorilla with a space hat on? What do you want for dinner? Cereal! Hi, honey. How was your day? You broke my little skate.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. For those of you doing callback bingo, Jan just won. Which is, I assume, a real game.
I actually made notes on some of the movies I want to talk with. I don't know where they are.
Oh, shoot.
If they're not upstairs, maybe they're in my car. I don't know.
If it makes you feel better,
yeah.
I'm doing 18 hours, 100% note-free.
I noticed you have no notes here. The only... Oh, it's not locked. Please, we live in Schaumburg. Ooh. On the way here, I passed a boy on a bicycle with a fishing rod. And I'm like, where are we, Mayberry? I'm usually not early in the morning.
Whistling and whatnot.
No, honey.
Jan, I'm going to mess with your level a little bit, so keep talking. I'm going to try to turn you up a little bit.
Hey, babe, you might be in Pennsylvania at an awesome film conference, but I'm here in Schaumburg where Patrick Bromley is messing with my levels.
I think we've spoken about this, Patrick, and I will brook no dissension. Please leave my wife's levels alone. My wife's levels are exactly, I want to come home and find those levels exactly where I left.
I want to quickly mention, I did glance over and look at some of the comments. Lots of excitement over Jan, by the way, in the comments.
I can't imagine why, but thank you all.
Rick comments, it's Jan of... Halfway through the movie, my wife leaned over to me and said, fame.
And at this point, I'm very, very frightened because, first of all, Jan just very accurately recreated what it's like in my house about 4 minutes
Where's
ago.
Where's my magic show? I want cereal?
That's right.
Yes.
And then for the next hour or so, my reputation on the site is going to be completely deflated when every single person says, oh, well, she's the whole show. She's the whole show.
She's the brains behind this operation. And now my lovely wife.
Podcasts.
101. My lovely wife, Erica, has just. Oh, sorry. My wife, Erica, has just discovered Jan's notes and brought them down to the studio.
Hi, everybody.
Erica,
Hi,
Erica. You are amazing. You have once again...
Oh, my God, get a room.
I love you.
Leave my wife's levels alone. No, I was just going to say that that after 101 podcasts, people are going to finally realize that for 101 podcasts, I've basically paraphrased my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, here it goes.
Goodbye,
we're blowing the lid off of this thing.
Goodbye. good night everybody. Dropping the mic.
Well, you know, Johnny, I'm sure you'll back me up on this. F This Movie has really become an important part of our lives, that we, you know, we talk about what the other columnists are writing, and we get a lot of our movie recommendations from you guys, and you know, we just love to participate in the events like F This Movie Fest. And
did I tell you about this live podcast-a-thon that we're doing?
No.
You should totally participate. I just need to figure out how to do it.
Why are you doing something like that? Why would you? What would you possibly?
Charity. We're raising money for the Magnolia Tree Foundation.
The Magnolia Tree Foundation, I've heard of that.
Yes.
And it's something that's important to me.
Yes. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Oh, my God. Stop interrupting, JB.
When you say F This Movie has become an important part of our lives.
Yes.
Define lives.
It's the part where we're not tripping on skates and eating cereal. It's okay. Pretty much what we do.
Skates is some cool new drug, right?
Yes.
That only you guys do? Sorry, dude. I was totally tripping on skates.
When you take it, the jargon is, he's tripping on a whittle skate.
All right, J-Bones, anything you want to add before you sign off for many, many hours only to return way too late because you're an hour later than I am, right?
Yes.
So you're coming back at 1 a.m. your time?
I believe so. That'll give me time to see the drive-in thing. Please
see what's important.
Please consider donating for the charity. And it's very, very wonderful to hear your voice, sweetie. And I will be home tomorrow. And I'm going back. I'm going back to the bash. And good luck. Good luck to everyone on the rest of the podcast. I'll be back tonight.
Thank you.
Have a great time, honey. I love you.
I think you're okay. All right. Bye. I'll talk to you later, J-Bones. Thanks for being here.
Bye-bye.
Okay, he's gone.
Finally.
Now we can talk in peace. Anyway, hi, Jan. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I've been so excited about this.
Really? Because I've been super nervous. Not about you, but just about me.
I actually have been too.
All of my worst fears were realized this morning when the stream wasn't working right at 8 o'clock when that was supposed to happen. For the hour leading up to 8 a.m., I was freezing and shaking, and I realized that my body's fight or flight response is flight, 100%.
That's my anxiety response, too, is to freeze.
Yeah.
Not physically freeze in place, but to
become very cold.
Feel like it's 40 degrees inside me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's what happened to me this morning. But we're up and running, and provided there are no more issues, then I guess I don't have to be nervous anymore, right?
I was listening on my phone, and I thought you guys sounded great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So you are here, A, because you're awesome and you know a ton, and B, because you're one of my very best friends, but also because this is very personal to you, yes?
It is really personal to me. And while I did not know Alexa Rodham Cutler well, she was a colleague of my husband's, and so I had the privilege of meeting her a couple times just in a friendly way. We're Facebook friends. And her story really touched me, not only for some of the things we've been talking about and some of the things that you can read, you know, through the links that you've provided on the website, but also because I actually received my diagnosis of breast cancer right about the same time she did. It was, I want to say, either the same week or the next week after I learned that I had breast cancer, that John came home and said he'd passed a classroom where his colleague Alexa was upset, and he went in and asked her what was going on, and she told him, and he came home and told me, and he says, I just can't believe it.
Yeah.
You know, and she was such a young woman. And so I've always felt kind of this kinship with her, and our stories turned out so differently, partly because the type of breast cancer we had was different.
Right.
She was faced with a really difficult to treat type of breast cancer. So I think that's one of the things that people don't understand. And one of the things that I really respect about the Magnolia Foundation, which was something that she wanted to achieve, and something that Alexa certainly lived after her diagnosis, was informing people about the different challenges that women face, informing people about getting tested for the BRCA1 and 2 mutations, which she had. I was also tested, and I did not, to my shock, exhibit the genetic mutation, because actually my breast cancer diagnosis was not even the first time I had cancer.
Nope.
I also had ovarian cancer when I was only 19. And that was a different experience. I had chemotherapy and went to school, and my first cancer diagnosis really kind of changed my outlook on life. I would say in a positive way, in a way that while it was challenging for a teenager, it was also a life experience that helped shape me as an adult in what I like to think is a positive way. But following that diagnosis when I was much younger, I'd always suspected that I probably would develop breast cancer sometime in my life, and I did.
Yeah.
So, but one of the reasons I had not gotten the genetic testing earlier, even though I suspected that I might be affected by it, was because it's costly.
Yeah.
It's, I thought it might be difficult or invasive, so I kind of didn't want to learn more about it, and I didn't really know a lot about it. It turns out it's not difficult or invasive to get tested at all. It's easy, although sometimes it's not covered by insurance.
Which is
criminal.
I know. But that's the kind of stuff that we're
raising
money for as well. Exactly. So, yeah.
So that's one of the things I know that Magnolia Foundation hopes to achieve, is to help educate people, to help women receive testing. So it just means it means a lot to me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Just as you're talking, I just want to say that donations are like literally flying in. So
that's awesome.
I know you want to talk about movies, but if you could keep talking cancer, I feel like we could really get our total up. So
cancer, what we call around our house, cancer, the comedy killer. Because
I thought that was JB's nickname. You burnt JB because you're not here.
Yeah, movies. I think because. It's because being a cancer survivor, and it's almost like I've told you this before. It's almost like I don't want to say I'm embarrassed, but it's almost like something I keep secret.
Right.
Because not because it's anything I'm ashamed of. I'm really proud that that I've had the support network to help me face a few challenges in my life and to make it something, you know, something achievable for me that I feel like it did overcome some struggles. But it upsets people.
Yeah.
So the fact that we can sit here and talk about it for 18 hours,
we're not just talking about cancer for 18 hours.
Just we're talking about movies. But I think that's another thing that Alexa really did in her life is show this example of, hey, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Let's all be survivors. So I really respect that. And that heals my heart. Do you know what I mean?
Well, and that's, again, part of the reason why I was, like, legitimately inspired to try to continue this goal that she had, you know, because we owe it to her.
Exactly.
We owe it to everyone. We owe it to you. We owe it to everyone,
well,
you know?
Thanks. Yeah, we owe
specifically it.
Specifically
you,
it's mostly me. Is what I'm trying to say is I love to tell people I'm a cancer survivor because then I'm like a rock star. you know, I don't want to be like, again, I know we're going to get to movies, but I did want to say this. Statistically, about 12% of women develop breast cancer sometime in their life. That's like about 1 in 8.
Yeah, that's it.
So I want to challenge people, look at your Facebook friends, and let's say you have, you know, I don't know, 80 female Facebook friends.
Okay.
Most people have probably more. I have 4, including 2 I made up. And so let's say for every 80 Facebook friends you have that are women, pick the 10 to get breast cancer.
Oof.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you can't do that. You can't.
Because it doesn't work like that, right?
No, it doesn't work
like that. I just want to make sure that I understand the disease.
Although I do like to tell my friends, I'll point to 7 women and say, I'm taking the hit for you.
For you.
Oh
my gosh.
So it is, you said this earlier in the podcast-a-thon, that it's something that affects everyone.
Yeah.
And it's something that changed the way I look at movies,
Movies!
So I have a few movies that I realized, either as I was watching them or later or sometime during my life. We all have movies that mean something to us personally, sometimes for reasons we can easily identify and sometimes for reasons we can't identify. And I have a few that are important to me from the perspective of being a survivor, a cancer survivor.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe we could talk about
it. Yeah, I'm excited about it too, because you had said even just when we were talking that, like, these aren't the movies about cancer.
No, those are the worst.
Right. I don't see them helping anyone. Like, I understand that the desire to tell the stories of those people And yet in most cases, you know, the, I hate to say it, like, because I don't think it's true in life, but like those stories in movies tend to only end one way.
Yeah.
Because it's about giving you this weird, sad right. feeling, which isn't always true in life. You know, there
exactly.
are plenty of people like yourself who are survivors. But I can't think of many movies where it's like, I have cancer and I'm cured.
Can I say this? I would love to see a movie where there's a character who is a cancer survivor or even a cancer, someone in treatment, and it's just never part of the movie. Do you know, like my...
Right.
When I was in radiation, that was never really a part of
right.
what I talked about
like,
with people.
Like, oh, we're cops who butt heads and we're going to stop this bad guy if we don't kill each other first. But real quick, I got to stop for my chemo and
yeah.
then we can
yeah.
go back to bickering.
Because a lot of times that's what life as a survivor is like. It's like... Especially with breast cancer, they have so many great treatments now, and the outcomes are often so positive
yeah.
that I think if we helped normalize it a little bit,
right,
then maybe people wouldn't be afraid to get
right.
tested. Maybe
right.
people wouldn't be afraid to talk about it. Maybe
right.
people wouldn't be afraid to pressure their friends into, hey, have you had your yearly mammogram yet? you know, or whatever.
You broke my little skate.
You broke my little skate.
I have to read two comments here from the thing. One is Jan is amazing. Mm. Oh, this is Saul Ott. Jan is amazing, though I'm questioning the funness of her Facebook game. And then Rick asks,
not
if we get
fun.
Past the $4,000 goal, can we get Jan on the podcast more often? The answer is yes.
Who gets the $4,000?
But I'm going to keep raising that bar.
Like,
so
like
it's
it.
Like, listen, a-holes. Now we got to get past $5,000 or no Jan. We're withholding the Jan. So your list does not consist of terms of endearment.
Yes,
and
no. Which I've never even seen. And let me put...
My Life. Have you ever seen My Life with
no.
Michael Keaton?
No.
It's the worst.
Oh my! Wait, maybe
he
I
gets
have.
Like an inoperable brain tumor and then decide. But Nicole Kidman is his wife and she's pregnant. And he knows he's not
he
going
makes
to
the videos.
Yes, he's oh, not going to live to see gosh. His baby born, so he makes videos.
I'm hurting just hearing it.
That's the thing. It's like it's so sad in theory, and then in practice, you're just like angry at it. I don't know, like
why
because
are you making me feel so terrible.
And that's the only reason it exists. I don't know. You know, everybody wants different things out of movies, and some people want that kind of
yes.
catharsis where like
yes.
they just feel sad, and that's okay. But I don't like to feel like you're manipulating me. For the sake of manipulating me.
Right. I completely agree. And I just have to pop this in right now. There are, for every person who has lived through or survived cancer, there is a different story.
Right,
so
right, right.
This is my opinion and thoughts. Your mileage may vary. I'm not making a blanket statement at all for anyone else who is a survivor. This is just
right.
my perspective.
Yeah.
But movies, usually from my perspective, movies about diseases, like they don't reflect how I feel
right,
about
right.
being a survivor. They don't reflect what I'm really. I don't even like The Fault in Our Stars or
which I didn't see
Beaches or like
right.
I was when you see I brought notes.
I do see because Derica brought them. By the way, Mark Munson said my uncle's friend directed My Life, so I'd like to walk back my comments on My Life and just say I've never even seen My Life. I don't know what that is.
I'm sure if it has Keaton in it, I'm sure it's tremendously affecting. I
That's
really
the one
like
where he clones
performer.
Himself a bunch of times, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm a fan of Keaton, so I'm sure it's emotionally affecting, but yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about.
No, we're talking about some other different movies.
Such as,
well, I'll just tell a little story. And one of the movies I just added it to my list last night, but it really is an important one. It's the movie that I went to see the day I was released from the hospital after the first time
oh
I had cancer. And that movie is Monty Python's The Meaning of Life.
Okay.
Because I like to live a life of irony. So that movie is important to me, A, because I think it's hilarious. I'm a big fan of Monty Python.
Yeah.
It's a hilarious movie. And it really does say some things about life. But
that we should always look on the bright side. Oh, wait, that's Life of Brian. Sorry. Life of Brian is always look on the bright side of life, right?
It is.
All right.
Yes, it is.
I'll be off the podcast now, everyone.
And I'm taking over. It's the Jan show. But yeah, so I just have this memory that might not seem like an awesome memory, but it is really an awesome memory of my life, of being 19 years old, sitting with the seat reclined all the way back in a movie theater, holding my gut because I had like a 10-inch scar on my stomach, and like laughing in this pained, silent way. Like,
that's just how she laughs, everyone.
The entire movie, and feeling like life was amazing. Just
that's awesome.
Feeling like life was the best. Movies were the best. Like the day my mom's like, "You're not going anywhere, young lady." I'm like, "But movies." all the time I was in the hospital, I'm like, "I just can't wait to go to the movies."
Yeah.
So that was the one that was playing. That was the one that I picked. And I wrote down the quote from the very end of the movie. If you haven't seen the movie, this is not really a spoiler. And I'd say definitely check out Monty Python's The Meaning of Life. And it ends with this quote. Try to be nice to people. Avoid eating fat. Read a good book every now and then. Get some walking in. And try and live together in peace and harmony with people of all creeds and nations.
That's all you need, right?
That's it. We're out.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
And please don't drop them.
I know. They look expensive. I can't believe you let me get this close to one.
That's the cheap one. That's actually a toy. None of this is broadcasting.
So that's one that's important to me. Every time I see it, I have that great memory of sitting in the dark, like trying not to laugh, not being able to not laugh, and just being so happy I was at the movies.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What year would that have been?
While I was 19, it was...
I'm not trying to out
your age. It was a revival that I saw like 4 years ago.
I just was trying to think of like what other movie you might have seen.
1983. What else?
In 83. Shoot. I know 82 and 84 a lot better. 83 was Return of the Jedi, but that still would have been fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's plenty of shit that came out in 83. I'm sure. I just can't.
And I'm sure I went to see as much of it as I could.
Yeah. Well, that's.
Well, I didn't have anything else to do because I had to drop out of school.
Cancer.
Stupid cancer. F cancer. That's why we're here.
Yes. Yes.
So there's one other one I have on my short list is, and this is, it's not 83, it's 82, I believe.
This next movie came out?
This next movie.
Is it your favorite movie of all time?
No.
Because that was 82.
Yeah, we're saving that one.
Okay, got it.
That one's just like such a rich vein of mine.
Got it. It's Beastmaster, everyone. Look, it's the Beastmaster.
It's Beastmaster. Look at my shirt.
Yes.
No, so that one's for later. No, the one I'm thinking of now is E.T.,
82, yeah.
It was 82.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
E.T., just because it's...
It's a great movie that Adam Mirsky doesn't like.
Oh, Adam.
That's fine. He's coming here next.
I know. And I hope I get a chance to see him and say hi to him and talk to him. Because
sock him in the snooker.
Adam's a friend of mine, but we frequently disagree on the movies we like. And so I have to say E.T. is on my good list. It's not only about, like, obviously the parallel is obvious. The person who gets sick and gets better.
Right.
But I think the reasons behind his getting better, the way I interpret the movie, is because of home and because of the people who love him, who come back for him, and because he found someone during his struggle to help him that he can relate to. And I think as a survivor, all those things were just so critical to me. Just like, it's like having other people to be good for.
Right.
Having other people be good for me. So that's why E.T. is on the list. It's kind of a hokey and obvious choice, I guess, but it's a great movie. It's about innocence and growing up. And
yeah.
So
I love that movie. And yeah, it was probably out around the same time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not that you were necessarily.
Yeah. It was also a movie that we owned. So when my son was sick, it was one that he gravitated to a lot.
Oh, yeah.
When he was sick, we let him stay up and watch E.T. and, you know, take his medicine. Okay, you can watch E.T.
Oh, well, that's great. Yeah. Doug and I were debating on the phone the other day. Not like debating, like arguing, but does E.T. work for kids?
Oh, it did for mine.
Right. So that is some evidence. My son seems to like it, although it's not a movie he keeps asking to go back to. But yeah. Like, I think Doug was saying after he had listened to the podcast that he felt like, oh, maybe E.T. is a movie that works better for adults thinking back on their childhood as opposed to a child who's in the middle of it.
I think that's one of the things I love about Spielberg, though, is there are so many of his movies where he's both.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Spielberg.
For sure.
Spielberg is the kid.
Yeah.
And he is the adult looking back on childhood. But there are parts of E.T. that are genuinely scary. Some of those guns were replaced with walkie-talkies.
Yeah.
In a later
version.
Scary.
Less scary.
Less scary. But some of E.T. is really, I mean, the children are in jeopardy. And for a kid to see Elliot, who's this frail boy who you don't have to understand everything that's going on around him to be able to tell that Elliot's in trouble in his
life.
And he doesn't know what to do and he doesn't know who to talk to. Mm-hmm. And that can be scary for kids.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it, though. I think that's part of what makes it a good movie for kids. It helps them. It has such a positive outcome and it has such a relatable character that I think it's good for kids to be able to say, okay, I faced something scary
right.
and I got through it. And, you know, Elliot and E.T. both faced something scary and they got through it. So I can get through scary things in my life.
That's Erica is madly texting me saying that I need to mention that she loved it as a child too. So it was your son and Erica, because she actually once made a craft like in preschool and signed it Erica E.T. Annie Mueller because she wanted her middle name to be E.T. Annie because those were her two favorite movies, and she got in trouble apparently because that's not her name. Her name is not Erica E.T. Annie.
It should be. Oh wait,
it's like one
so
of.
So that's why you named your daughter Rosie E.T. Annie.
Correct.
Probably.
Correct. It's one of the only times, it's one of two times in Erica's life that she ever like got in trouble.
I can't believe. What teacher would get
a monster. A monster. E.T. is filled with joy.
It is.
Annie, you know, it's fine.
It's filled with orphans.
Singing orphans.
So what are the movies you want to talk about?
I want to hear the movies that you want to talk about. I don't know, because like I don't have this. The day I found out that I'm diabetic, which is so not the same thing, but like the movie I saw was Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans. So.
And how's that been working out for you?
You know,
as
okay.
far as managing your diabetes.
Yeah, yeah. Not bad. I think of Nicolas Cage. I think I can, my soul is dancing, and then I shoot up some insulin, but it's fine. I want to talk about your movies.
Okay, at our house, we call insulin Little Skates.
So you're tripping on Little Skates.
I'm tripping on Little Skates.
Jan continues to win at Callback Bingo.
Let me tell you this. I have one thing I want to talk about that's not a movie, but a movie character.
I'll allow it.
One movie that is a recent movie that I didn't really know I was responding to as a cancer survivor until like halfway into it. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is meaning something to me.
Independence Day Resurgence?
No. And then two movies that are more like we need to talk about this awesome movie and what it means to life. So where do you want to start?
Let's talk about the the recent one.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think we should talk about the recent one because we need to get it out of the way before Adam Risky comes.
Oh boy,
this was a movie that worked a lot better for me than it did for Adam, and that is The Shallows.
Oh yes, shoot.
you haven't seen it yet?
I haven't, and then my goal was like to see it before.
Okay, no. Please.
Today.
We have goals. We fail our goals. And then...
We're succeeding at our fundraising goal right now. I should mention donating money for the Magnolia Tree Foundation on our GoFundMe page, which you can find at fthismovie.net. Every little bit helps, everyone. Let's raise. Okay, so we're over our goal, which is
awesome.
Are you
kidding? That's amazing.
No, it is super awesome.
So
but now we keep raising the bar. So it would be great if we could raise $50 while Jan talks about The Shallows.
What? Oh my gosh. The
Make
pressure's
it good.
On. Oh, the pressure's on.
Yeah.
Okay. The Shallows is a movie I frankly wasn't expecting a lot out of because I knew it was about a shark, which is like, fine. There's no way you're going to top Jaws.
And but Blake Lively has yet to be like...
Right. I don't dislike her.
Check out this Blake Lively joint, no. Everyone. Right. She's fine.
She's fine. And I had read or heard maybe from JB, oh, it's kind of a horror movie, which, yeah, I like a lot of kinds of horror movies, not all kinds of horror movies. So I'm like, okay, I love to go to the movies, love to go to the movies with JB. Let's do it. And it's a story that ended up really affecting me in exactly the opposite way, I think, that it affected Adam. I thought Blake Lively was terrific.
Yeah.
And no spoilers for The Shallows, because I'd really be interested in the F This Movie community, folks checking it out, and then telling us how it works for you, whether it works or not. In the movie, Blake Lively's character faces a challenge. She's also dealing with a life situation in which she's managing the loss of her mother to cancer. And I think the way she handles her challenge in the movie and the way that experience changes her grief experience of losing her mother to cancer is really effectively done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a cancer survivor, it spoke to me. Let me say this. It not only spoke to me as a cancer survivor, but it spoke to me as someone who's dealt with the grief of loss.
Right.
And really made me think about how those two things are related, because a diagnosis is a type of loss. You've lost some of your health.
Yeah.
You've lost a self-perception. You know, finding out you have cancer changes the way you perceive yourself, changes the way you perceive your body. It's like you've thought, oh, you know, my body's great. It walks me
around.
We're
on the same team.
It walks me around.
Oh, wait, my body's attacking me.
Right, my body hates me.
Right, yeah.
And perhaps, you know, as a diabetic, you know the same thing. Like, I thought we were friends.
Yeah, right, exactly. My body's a dick.
No, you won't let me eat cupcakes. You're not nice to me at all.
Some friend you are. Broke my little skate.
So that really worked for me. And I think, you know, if there are people who are dealing with a challenge themselves, it's a movie maybe to seek out and see how those two kinds of challenges are related. And I think ultimately what helps Blake Lively's character, and again, I think her performance was really engaging.
Yeah.
She gives nuance. She's not just a plucky heroine, and she's certainly not just a damsel in distress.
Mm-hmm.
Although she has moments of both. Do you know? So I think that idea of how our own challenges can help us relate to someone else's challenges, how our own experiences can help us come to terms with the experiences of others.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have movies, isn't
right.
it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, I like to think of all art, you know, books and movies and, you know, I'm poetry. I love poetry.
Yeah.
So all these works of art, they're like little, like engines of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So we experience them, and they're our gateway into the experiences of others.
Right.
And so The Shallows really worked on me, for me on that level, which might seem weird. I don't know if anyone else is really talking about it on that level.
Right.
Because I meant to read some reviews of it and add them to my notes, but it was 1 a.m. and I fell asleep with my head like going down towards my keyboard. So,
I fell asleep just Google searching images of Blake Lively. So I feel like we were both
kind of the same
doing research.
What I'm talking about. And now I feel closer to you.
I remember when Inception came out, that Devin Faraci wrote this great review about it as kind of a parallel for movies, and talked at the end about, and I don't want to spoil the end of Inception, but essentially saying whatever it is, that however you interpret the ending,
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter. Whether this thing is real or whether it's a dream doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Because what matters is the emotional effect that it has on you. The fact that you feel catharsis, whether it's real catharsis, you know, whether DiCaprio's achieving real catharsis or dream catharsis doesn't mm-hmm. matter. And that's why we see movies, which is exactly what you're just talking about, was it's about taking us from point A to point B emotionally. And however, whatever the thing is that gets us there doesn't totally matter. So for some people, it's The Shallows. For some people, it's My Life, you know?
Yeah.
It's completely subjective, you know, but it's kind of that journey that I don't like to use the word journey.
No, neither do I, but it sometimes it fits.
Oh, fuck. it's that thing that matters, you know?
Yeah. And that's why, that's why we go to the movies.
Yeah.
So, okay. Can I now talk about one of my, do we have more time, right?
Oh yeah. No, still have lots of time, and I'm just checking in because I know, apparently Dennis Atherton said that if I, we've raised over $50 while you talked
really?
About The Shallows.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
You F This Movie people are the best.
Yes.
They really are.
It's
like,
amazing.
Seriously. We talk about that all the time, how great you guys are.
It's incredible. And apparently if I give Dennis Atherton a shout out, he will contribute $50.
Hi, Dennis. Thanks for being an awesome part of our community.
He's amazing. He's like our biggest cheerleader.
Ka-ching.
Right. He is truly, though, our biggest cheerleader and has our back. There was a thing last week where he saw a tweet that he felt like was unfair and he was messaging me and he like was really just willing to defend me and he's helped me out with stuff. I had to order something once from the UK and he was like, yeah, I'll help you. So he's a great, great fan of our show, a great fan of Killer POV, now Shockwaves. He's like their biggest cheerleader as well. So we bond over that. And just such a positive fan of movies.
Yeah.
He's
absolutely.
Never on here talking about, oh, I hate this. I didn't like this. He just talks about the stuff that he loves. And that is so refreshing and so great. So
absolutely.
Hopefully that's worth $50. I mean all of it. So whether or not you were going to contribute $50 doesn't matter because I mean all that and it should be said.
Yep.
Anyway.
It's whether the catharsis is in your dream or in your reality.
That's right. all right, what are we talking about now? Because I got to figure out, based on the movie, how much we're going to raise while you talk about it.
Okay, it's my favorite. It's one of my favorite movie characters.
Okay.
I've noticed that every time I come to your house, you make sure that the glass that I like to use the best at your house is always clean and ready for me. And that is the glass that you have with a picture of Wolverine on it.
Yes.
I'm just like getting, I don't know, nobody can see me, but I'm like, I'm playing with my zipper on my sweatshirt and I'm like smiling like Wolverine. I'm talking about, like I have a notebook at home with like Wolverine and Jan B written in a heart or something. I love Wolverine.
Is it specific? It's not Hugh Jackman. It's specifically Wolverine.
I love Hugh Jackman,
sure.
But it is Wolverine. And
okay.
Here's my notes on Wolverine.
You hear the page turning, everyone.
And here you can read the top line of my notes about Wolverine.
Wolverine is my spaghetti.
Yes, Wolverine is my spaghetti. and I thought that would be a good way to sum up my feelings about the character of Wolverine. I have to say, I didn't grow up on comic books.
It's okay.
But I got to know.
I accept you.
Thank you. I got to know X-Men through movies. So
okay.
It's the movie character of Wolverine, which I understand is different. But when I was a little girl, we went on a driving vacation throughout the Midwest, and we would stop at a Howard Johnson's to get a meal with my family. And at one Howard Johnson's, I'm about 5 or 6 years old, the waitress says, honey, what would you like? And I said, I would like.
Adorable.
I would like the spaghetti. Because I love spaghetti.
Sure.
And so she wrote it on her. This is so in my head. She wrote it on her little pad and she leans down towards me. She says, honey, you know why all the kids order spaghetti? I said, why? She said, because it's the messiest. And then she went off and I'm like, I'm sitting at this dinner table thinking, my life has been a sham. Here I was assuming that I was ordering the spaghetti because it is A, delicious.
Right.
And B, an incredibly fun shape to eat.
Okay.
Which, like, I just loved to eat spaghetti. It was just so much fun to eat.
Sure.
And I've just been told by an adult, and therefore must be a 100% authority, that that's not the reason I love
it's
what I
love. It's actually the mess.
It's actually something that hadn't even occurred to me. That is why I love what I love. And that like, that really blew my mind.
Yeah.
That's Wolverine to me. The day I read on the internet something like Wolverine was like the number one of the number one comic book character than voted by,
sure,
I don't know, whatever.
He's very popular.
I got really mad inside. I'm like, fuck you all. You don't know anything about Wolverine. You like Wolverine because he's cool? That's not what to love about Wolverine. Because I had so internalized the things that spoke to me about that character of Wolverine and how human I find him and how sad and inspiring and wonderful I find that character of Wolverine. And it didn't even really occur to me till I found out that most people like him just because he's cool.
Yeah, no, he's got claws and he stabs stuff.
Yeah.
And he has like an attitude.
He's
got a bad attitude.
Yeah, he's the anti-hero.
He's got bone claws.
Yeah. And so I didn't really understand my own love of Wolverine as sort of a function of my being a cancer survivor. That's really the thing I love about Wolverine is, and what makes him the most human is that he can heal. And like that just like inspires me.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, we're talking about the body and how you feel as, you know, when you're sick, when you have a diagnosis, you know, like cancer, like your body hates you. To me, that like X-Men really speaks to me. These are people who are dealing with a genetic mutation that they don't ask for, that they oftentimes don't even know they have,
right,
that they watch develop sometimes to their horror, and that they don't know what to do about. They don't know how to manage it. They don't know. And their solution is to band together.
Mm-hmm.
Their solution is to, you know, choose a moral outlook for the way they're going to live their lives. And, you know, kind of the dark side, light side,
right,
thing.
Right, right.
And their solution is to learn, is to not just suppress it, not just get rid of it. Although sometimes, you know, there's some mutants who just want to not be mutants anymore, but to learn how to manage it. And that concept really spoke to me as a cancer survivor. You know, we all have issues we face. We all have the things inside of us that we feel aren't right about ourselves. And it's hard to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Finding a community makes it better. Finding support makes it manageable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Cyclops is super cool because he's got the laser eyes. That would be amazing. I think Storm, like, just to be able to control, like I love, you know, thinking about different powers we could have and all the X-Men. But
some of these characters you have to just love on paper, right? Because if you only know the X-Men from the movies, there's no way you're like, Storm is awesome.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I like Halle Berry and she's pretty and she's,
I mean, all that
weather.
Is true, but like,
it's made me want to read the comic books.
Okay. She's an awesome character in the comic,
yeah,
books and not so much in the movies.
Okay. But my point
now
is
I'm
this.
That guy. You should really read the comics.
My point is this. Out of all these amazing powers that the different X-Men have, I look at Wolverine and his makes him at once the least human, because that's nobody can do that. Just like grow his claws and
right,
then heal
right.
him over. Like nobody can do that, but it makes him the most human because yeah, we all do that. We all heal all the time,
mm-hmm,
over small things and large things. I mean, not just physically, but emotionally. And he's really relatable to me on that level. And the fact that he didn't ask for his situation, but he, against sometimes his own instincts, is trying to be the best guy he can be.
Right.
The line in, I wrote down which are some of my
right.
favorite X-Men movies.
Right.
And I really liked the first.
It's only half of them or less.
Yeah, yeah. But I really liked the first X-Men movie. And there's one thing I think about is when, is it Rogue who asks him?
Does it hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite moments.
Yeah.
She looks at the claws and she says, does it hurt when they come out? And he says, every time.
Yeah.
And so that just wrecks me because that's how we have to live our lives.
And that's, you know, just from a movie perspective, that's probably his most human moment through all of the X-Men movies, yes. and it's literally in his first 5 minutes of screen time. Yeah. But it is the one that makes him the most human, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we all have to make choices that hurt sometimes.
Yeah.
But we do them for the people we care about. And that just really speaks to me. So every time, like, I haven't seen the most recent X-Men yet, but I know I'm going to because Wolverine shows up.
Yeah, spoilers, he does. It's in the trailer, so it's not that much of a spoiler.
So I just want to see.
But again, he shows up because it's cool, you know? Like, yeah. So as a fan of Wolverine, do you remember what it felt like to sit through X-Men Origins Wolverine?
No, I did not like that one.
Because it's...
That's not the one I liked.
No, nor should it be.
I liked the Wolverine, though.
Yeah, that one's good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
It's fun. Do you struggle with his dumb hairstyle at all?
A little bit. Just like, I'll run my fingers through your messy Wolverine hair, Hugh Jackman.
At a certain point, they could have abandoned that. I know in the first movie, they wanted to make it like comic book accurate, but at a certain point, they could just be like, well, we could just give him any hair, right?
I was doing a little research on Wolverine as
Google image search.
Comic character. And apparently, one of the origin stories that they considered for him was that he was a mutated Wolverine cub. Like an actual mutated animal.
Well, I guess we all dodged a bullet there.
So that's just my shout out to Wolverine, the spaghetti on my Howard Johnson's plate
that
I love for the reasons I love.
Right, which again, right.
So if you all want to love him just because he's cool and a bad boy,
yeah.
Feel free. But I love him because he's my spaghetti.
Which again, I... The same way that you watch The Shallows in a way that's different from everyone else. And, you know, now you're watching X-Men Origins Wolverine even in a way that's different from everyone else. And
But isn't that what's great about the movies?
Yes. Well, again, this is something I talk about in the class that I teach all the time, that, like, we are only the sum total of our experiences, right? That's why
yes.
we all look at the same thing and we interpret it completely differently.
That's why we need art.
Right.
It's to
right.
create a bridge in those experiences
right.
so we can
right.
relate to each other and reach each other and create great communities like the F This Movie.
Yay, F This Movie. Yay. There are a bunch of comments that are telling me to say things
okay,
so
say
that
things.
People will donate.
Okay.
So I would just like to get a few things off my chest. Number one,
please do.
I love the Boondock Saints. I love it. And here's why I love it. Because a lot of people... love it. It's a lot of people's favorite movie. And if it brings those people joy, of course I love it. Roger Moore. What do I have to say about Roger Moore? That he's like a great Bond. Or he's... do I have to say he's my favorite Bond? Oh, I have to say JB was right about Independence Day Resurgence. And I will say this. He said he had fun. Of course
JB
he was right about
fun.
That. 100%
yes.
he was right about that.
Yes.
He was right that he had fun and he enjoyed it. Those were the grounds on which he was positive about that movie. Of course he was right about that.
Yes.
So please donate $50. hold on. I'm looking for the other things that I'm supposed to say here. Something about Roger Moore. Oh, I have to say Roger Moore is my favorite Bond. That one's going to be tough. But if you're going to donate $50, if I will say Roger Moore is my favorite Bond.
If it, yeah.
Here's what I'll say. Roger Moore is my favorite Bond. In the movies, The Spy Who Loved Me, For
okay.
Your Eyes Only,
okay.
A View to a Kill, Octopussy, Live and Let Die, Moonraker, and I think I got them all. Oh, Man with the Golden Gun. And The Man
there
with the Golden
go.
Gun. He is my favorite Bond in all of those films.
Mine too.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And there are some of those Bond movies that I like. So I know I take shots at Roger Moore often, but I mean these things.
Yeah, we were just watching Octopussy the other night.
Octopussy might be one of my least favorite James Bond movies. Was it?
The one that was on? Yes.
Yeah. Does it does it hold up or is it?
No. Yes, no. Yes and no. I mean, yeah, any Roger Moore Bond, you have to go in knowing what it is.
Yeah.
And then,
and some of those I think can be fun. But
my favorite Bond too while I'm watching those movies.
Yes. Okay.
Absolutely.
And I feel like I could sleep at night because I found a way to say those things in a way that was true to me and not just being a whore to raise money for the Magnolia Tree Foundation, which, by the way, is worth being a whore for because it's going to a good cause. I'm not just trying
to a very good cause.
Raise
it'll
money
help.
For snacks.
It'll
I'm
help
trying
so
to...
many people.
Yes.
And will help further the dream and vision of a person who's really inspiring.
Very inspiring person.
So So do we still have some more time?
We do. Do you want to get to the big show?
Yeah, okay. Let's do it. Okay. My favorite movie ever.
Ever, as evidenced by her T-shirt and
yes, which
that it's her favorite movie ever.
Should we tip it a little?
Sure.
My T-shirt, which has a giant origami unicorn on it. A T-shirt which I purchased because I got an email one day while I was at work from Patrick Brownlee, who said, I thought you might be interested in this, and it's a link to this T-shirt, and I bought it like in 5 seconds.
Yes.
Yes. So my favorite movie of all time is Blade Runner.
Yes.
And
the theatrical cut with the Harrison Ford voiceover.
Honestly, I'm going to be totally honest here. Any version
I know.
Of Blade
I'm just
Runner,
joking. But
all versions of Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Obviously, that is not my very favorite version. But I will tell you this. That was the first one.
Right.
That was my gateway.
That's the one you fall in love with, right?
My gateway Blade Runner.
Right. That was the date who brought you.
Yep. And I danced. I've been dancing with him for 30 years.
I can't wait for the sequel.
Oh, please. And you know I'm going to be all over seeing that sequel.
Of course. And maybe it'll be great.
But quick aside. No matter what they do with that sequel,
yeah,
how good or bad it is, it will never ruin my childhood.
No.
It will
how
never
can it?
Ruin the experience I have had loving Blade Runner for 35. What year is it now?
34 years.
34
years. Let me ask you this question.
Please.
I don't need to get your firm answer on where you stand on is Deckard a replicant. But let's say the sequel says 100% without a doubt. Deckard is a replicant.
And then that sequel will be making a mistake.
Okay. Does it do anything to your... But
no.
So when you go back to watch Blade Runner,
no.
You can just ignore that.
Yes.
Okay.
It's.
I struggle
yes.
with that sometimes with sequels where they make changes or they... Midichlorians, you know,
yeah,
whatever. It's like I don't watch Star Wars and now think like midichlorians. I can
I
divorce those two.
But it's hard to... But I
can divorce
yes,
those things.
I divorce those things as well. And here's the thing. If the sequel does make that 100% claim, I will say that that is a mistake, not because I disagree with the claim, but because I disagree with taking a 100% position on that either
right.
way.
Yes.
And it's something you said earlier in our conversation, you know, with Inception.
I broke my little skate.
I broke my little skate. And then he skateboards across the roof to get away from Roy Batty.
Yeah.
Whee!
Yeah. To the cool synth score of Vangelis.
Yeah, so I
it's
love
not gonna. It's not
no,
gonna. Okay, got it.
Gonna.
So let's talk about Blade Runner.
Please.
Oh,
let's
I'm supposed to tell you that you are J.M. Vargas's favorite Bond girl.
Aw, thanks, J.M.
I'm not going to be maintaining these.
I'm now walking out of the ocean with a knife strapped to my hip. So.
And I should also mention, sharing in the comments, you animals who are posting all this dirty shit, that real people are reading these. And Mrs. Rodheim, Alexa's mother, said thank you for sharing your story.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Very nice.
So Blade Runner.
So back to Blade Runner.
I just love this movie so much. And it wasn't until recently that my mind was blown when I attached it to my experiences as a cancer survivor and realized, holy moly, that really is it for me.
Yeah.
And that was at a recent screening. Well, not recent, a few months ago, that the Chicago Critics Association did a screening at our local theater of Blade Runner. And I went to that. And I believe it was in the run-up, when I was kind of reading about the movie before that screening, when I read that the director, Ridley Scott, had recently lost his brother, Frank,
right,
to cancer. And now, of course, we know he also lost his brother, Tony, to cancer later. And that it was a devastating loss to him. And that happened to Ridley Scott right before he made Blade Runner.
Right.
And it suddenly kind of coalesced in my mind. When I saw Blade Runner, which I'm trying to kind of get my timeline. I think the first time I saw Blade Runner, I was before my diagnosis. But subsequently, I revisited the movie many, many times.
Yeah.
I had a giant Harrison Ford poster. And you can't see me, but I am gesturing the size
giant.
Of the Harrison Ford poster that I had in my dorm room. And I loved all the characters, not just the character of Rick. I loved the themes of the movie and that idea of you know, the director having been affected by this loss in his life and him taking that sensibility to the movie became really apparent to me only kind of in retrospect, which I think is really artful, which is really, I mean, all directors have an artistic perspective. Sometimes they hit you over the head with them.
Sure.
And more often than not, when they do that, it's actually the opposite effect.
Right.
I think they're forcing their perspective on you to make a point or to get you on their side. And it's kind of the more they force it, the less you join them. It's kind of a show, don't tell.
No need to revisit those movies. Think about Blade Runner, your favorite movie ever. You've seen it countless times.
It's more than
30 years old.
Yes.
And yet it's still like opening things up to you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think there has to be directorial intent behind that. There has to be, anytime people are discussing art, and again, I'm a poet, so people discuss poetry and like, oh, I don't get it. there's this idea of unpacking it. And all the best art, you can do that. You can bring your own perspectives and kind of unpack it. You can take it on this level, then unpack a little and kind of go a little deeper and a little deeper. And Blade Runner really does that for me. It's a fantastic classic movie that I love. I didn't even bring any notes on it.
No, nor should you. I can't remember who I was talking with. I feel like in the last year or so, Blade Runner came up because I had just rewatched it or I don't know. And somebody said like, yeah, I mean, I like it, but it's just like a little bit too dark for me, or I forget the way that they described it. And I said, oh, that's weird. I consider it to be like one of the most life affirming movies ever. Provided you're not just looking at Roy Batty as the bad guy. Like if you're only watching it as kind of a science fiction thriller, then you're like, Roy Batty is the bad guy who must be stopped. And Rick Deckard is the hero who must stop him. But Roy Batty is not the villain of that movie at all. And so if you're able to kind of open yourself up to that idea, which I assume most people are, it's like one of the most life-affirming movies ever.
I completely agree.
It's that and Swiss Army Man.
Oh, don't get me started on Swiss Army Man. Yeah, I really don't want to talk about Swiss Army Man because people like it. And again, Blade Runner touches on some of the issues that we've already talked about, which is issues of the body, issues of grief and loss, issues of control over your life. All these things speak to me as a cancer survivor, as a person who's experienced grief and loss, as a person who just has to move through the world, and we have to constantly make those choices.
Right, and or just even has a concept of your own mortality, which obviously is on its face, you know, what Blade Runner is really about, but just this knowledge that like this runs out.
Yes. Yes.
And maybe I don't want it to, you know?
Right.
And so what do I do with the time that I have, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And even things like the theme in Blade Runner of memory and how important memories are to human experience, that it's this, the memories are presented as a thing that makes the replicants human, even more in some ways than their bodies.
Yeah.
Because their bodies are superhuman.
Right.
Their bodies are specialized for certain functions in a way that most human bodies aren't specialized for.
Right.
We're generalists.
Right.
You know, if we get good at something, it's through practice, not because we were genetically engineered to do that.
Right.
But it's the memory implants that some of the replicants have in the movie that make them the most human and most relatable, but also cause them the most cognitive dissonance, you know, that cause them, even replicants without memory implants, such as Roy, he talks about what he remembers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Leon collects photographs of people he knows and probably people he doesn't know. So those ideas of memories is really important. And I think when we lose someone, we talk about their memory.
Right.
I mean, even something like the Magnolia Foundation is being done we say in memory.
Right, right.
So I think that is such an important theme of, in the movie. You know, we talk about the line that immediately comes to mind in this context, in which I said to you, I hope I can say it in context of what we're doing without tearing up, is when I'm blanking on the character's name, Edward James Olmos.
I can't remember his name either, but I knew exactly
right
who you were referencing, right, if that's the line you're talking
about.
He
yells to Deckard, like, too bad she won't live.
Yeah.
But who does?
Right.
And that's everyone.
Yeah.
You know, that's all of us. And the choices we make are what define us from that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Another scene that everybody talks about in the movie Blade Runner is, of course, the iconic ending scene in the rain on the roof. This is no spoilers for Blade Runner. Look, if you are listening to this podcast and you have not
You've seen Blade Runner listening to this podcast.
First, I would like you to finish.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us. Finish making your donation to the Magnolia Tree Foundation. Hit pause. Go out and watch any version that you can get your hands on of Blade Runner. Come back. 5, 4, 3, 2. Hi again. Spoilers for Blade Runner. The scene at the end when they're sitting on the roof in the rain.
Yeah.
Deckard is battered, confused, frightened. Batty seems to have the upper hand. He's at the end of his life. And he... he does not kill Deckard.
Right.
He lets him live.
That's his kind of last act. Yeah, he chooses to.
His last act, but before he lets go of the bird,
right,
is to honor Deckard's life by letting him keep it. And the voiceover, and a lot of people who comment on that, comment on that scene, will say, "Well, clearly, it's that." Any life was important to him.
Right.
As he's losing his own, any life becomes important to him. But I think there's something else going on in that scene. Do we want to?
Yeah. Before Jan tells us what's going on in that scene, put on your headphones here. We're joined now in the studio by Adam Risky, everyone. Donate for Adam Risky.
Hi. How are you? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thanks for all the donations so far.
It's pretty
fantastic,
awesome.
Fantastic, right?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Fantastic, yeah. And hi, Jan.
Hi, Adam.
This
nice
is awesome.
I
love being on the show with you.
I love being on the show with you, too.
Oh, my God. Get a room.
I listened on my way over here, and, dude, just get over that I don't like E.T.
I'm not getting over it. I'm not getting over
just
it.
Just get over it. I also like how E.T., I'm just like, it's a very good movie. It just isn't, like, really personal to me. Has turned into Adam doesn't like it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Well, let me ask you this, Adam. Yeah. How do you feel about Annie?
I've never seen the remake, but I saw the 80-something version of it.
Yeah.
And I think I saw it in school and I thought it was fine. I don't remember too well.
One of the better orphan movies.
It's really important to like both E.T. and Annie.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Defined my childhood.
And her name. Annie, say hi, Charlie.
Annie has better songs than E.T.
We're cutting in to say hello.
Say hi, kids.
I have children with
Donate
me.
For my kids, everyone. Donate
hi.
For my kids.
Hi.
Oh, my
hi.
Gosh.
Say
hello. Hello.
Hi. I'm 4, and my name is Rosie.
Aww. Hi, Rosie. And how about you, tall boy?
I'm 7, and my name is Charlie.
And Charlie, what is your favorite movie of all time?
A hard question, right? There are so many great movies.
There are. What's one of your favorite movies?
Blade Runner. Say Blade Runner.
Or Blade Trinity.
Oh, I know. How about Jon Stewart?
Yeah, Jon Stewart is good.
I do love Jon Stewart.
Jon Stewart is good. So, Rosie, what's your favorite movie, Boo?
My favorite movie is Rosie.
Rosie? That is a good
Charlie.
That is a good
Rosie
movie.
Rosie and Charlie, that's my favorite movie, too. Now, can you guys say, please donate.
Please donate.
In memory of Alexa.
In the memory of Alexa.
Thank you, Rosie. People are going to donate money to a very good cause just because you have your nightgown tucked into your underpants.
It's true. In fact,
when
Adam Riske showed up at the door today, she flashed him. So
well, that's the effect Adam Riske has on women.
And I feel great that I'm some miner in Minecraft.
Yeah, Charlie's playing Minecraft upstairs.
Okay, good.
He's acting it out.
I wish you could see how cute these adorable little Moppets are.
Pretty cute. She's talking about me and Adam, by the way. All right, back upstairs, guys. We have to hear the secrets of Blade Runner,
Wait,
which we still haven't heard.
Can I stay?
Everything sounds
great.
Yeah,
no, you stay. You stay.
Bye, guys. Bye. I love you, kids. Bye.
Uh-oh, wait.
Hold on. Quick pause. Okay, we got the Snoopy.
Okay, what a relief. What a relief. Okay, so what's actually going on in that scene in Blade Runner?
Okay, well, for one, I think actually he is thinking that, you know, any life is important. Life becomes such a valuable thing to him, to Roy, that he gives up his struggle against Rick, and he accepts his fate and wants to let Rick live because he respects life and wants Rick to have a life. But I think there's something else going on in that scene that really moves me as a I don't know, cancer survivor, also as a moviegoer, also just as a human being. And that is this idea throughout the movie that we've talked about, memories, how our memories make us human. The conversations that Rick and Rachel have about her memories, and how Rick's relationship with Rachel is based on those memories, and how he changes. You know, first he's the one who tells her, no, those are fake memories.
Right.
And then he immediately walks back because he sees the effect it's having on her. So her, you know, her emotions are beginning to affect him.
Right.
So then he backs it up. And so that's such a theme through the movie. I think at the end, Roy realizes he's in a position now of power. He's in a position as not just a person who's going to let Rick live, but by doing so, he's going to live.
Mm-hmm.
Roy is going to become part of Rick's experience. Roy is going to become part of Rick's memory.
Yeah.
In that way, he's like, I have no idea what that noise was.
Some sort of Skype thing. I'm sorry. All of the computer audio has to go out through the board here. So
I thought that was just my brain.
Just bubbling with this idea.
Something just occurred to Adam.
So I think that's just an amazing moment where, in a sense, Roy implants a memory
mm-hmm.
into Rick.
Yeah.
That Rick is then going to take with him as he lives his life. That experience of facing his mortality and then being granted this grace is going to define the rest of Rick's life.
Yeah.
And that really spoke to me as a survivor.
Yeah.
Not only for that, but also this idea that memory, that the people we lose can also go on.
Right.
And I'm feeling a little choked up right now because that's what I think one thing that the Magnolia Foundation is doing. It's implanted with this memory. You know, when I consider Alexa, I still consider her a survivor,
mm-hmm.
partly because of the Magnolia Foundation, something that was her vision while she was alive, that now other people are taking up this mantle. And that's how, you know, her memory is implanted in us. And that's, you know, that's how we move forward in life, and that's how we live. So that's all I wanted to say.
That's awesome. I in thinking this through, I should have scheduled you later in the day because Risky's not going to be able to top that. It's nothing. It's...
I actually had that thought on my way over here. I'm just like, I'm following Jan. Thanks, scheduling.
I'm glad because we get to overlap.
That we could cross paths.
It is fun. Actually, you guys talk amongst yourselves for 2 minutes while I go pee. It's my first pee break of the day. Yeah. I only made it 2 hours, which is
allowed.
Like nothing. What kind of camel am I?
I don't know. Well, I bought you a bedpan, so you can just stay right here.
Like an astronaut diaper?
Just child diapers. You can use more than one. They don't come in just singles. So a funny story about that Blade Runner screening, and you don't know this, Jan.
Were you there?
I was there. I was there.
I knew you were there, though.
This has become an inside joke between me and Mike.
Okay. So Mike was there too.
He was there. So Eric Childress, a friend of the podcast, was hosting the Blade Runner screening, and it was great. It was a wonderful Q&A, and he was talking about the Roy Batty sequence at the end of the film. And he had mentioned something where he asked, you know, what is everybody's interpretation of that moment? Right. So I answered something, and it was like an okay answer. It was good.
You know your stuff.
It was interesting.
It was a good answer. Yes.
And then immediately afterwards, you answered what you just said on the show just now.
Yeah.
And it made my answer look so superfluous in comparison.
No.
So I turned to Mike and I'm just like, I don't know. I'm like, I feel like I should still get some credit for like what I said.
Absolutely should.
It was really funny. So now like whenever we're at one of these screenings and there's a Q&A, I'm always like guarding myself. I'm just like, when's Jan going to answer? Because I need to like go after that. I need to like not come right before that.
Look at it this way, Adam. Yeah. Your answer was the building block. Your answer was the foundation.
I'll take that.
And since we're talking so much in this conversation about the support people give each other and the community people give each other, maybe
having you there to
go first, maybe that's what helped give me the courage, because I don't usually like raise my hand in those things.
Thanks, Jan.
So, yeah. Thank you, Anna.
No, I do at work. I run the newsletter, the company newsletter, and we do interviews of people every month. Yeah. And one of the questions we ask is like, personally or professionally, who do you look up to? And like just listening to your section of the show today, I changed my answer to Jan.
Oh no!
Like it is fantastic. I mean, just your insights and like just everything that you've gone through, and I just couldn't be more happy to be your friend and everything.
I'm glad we're friends too.
Yeah,
movie buddies.
Yeah, movie buddies. So what have you seen lately?
What have I seen lately besides The Shallows, which you and I had but that's cool.
It's okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
We had that with the intern also.
Yeah, yeah. but that's okay. Sometimes JB and I go to a movie. Well, often we go to a movie.
Yeah.
But sometimes when we go to a movie, we show up at the theater and we're like, hey, there's Adam.
Yeah.
Because you go to a lot of...
That's happened. Yeah, a few times.
Yeah, several times. So, and we're always happy to see you at the movies.
Aw, thanks.
So what have I seen lately? What was the last movie I saw in a theater?
Did you go with JB to see Independence Day Resurgence?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of it?
Okay.
Did you like it as much
surprise.
As he did?
Nobody liked it as much as he did. No, actually, I'm sure there are some people who liked it even more. But here's the thing. Throughout Independence Day Resurgence, JB was sitting next to me eating his popcorn and just like kind of had a grin and he was just having fun with the movie. I thought a lot of it was super ridiculous.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah,
but I also had fun with the movie, partly because I was sitting next to someone who was having such a good time.
Yeah, I totally get that. That's how I felt with Greek Wedding 2. Like I looked over at my mom and she just had a big smile on her face and I'm just like, I wouldn't trade this for anything in the world.
Right,
So, yeah. All right, we could stop talking shit about the boss. He's back.
Did you guys get that E.T. thing straight now?
It was Love Fest.
Good. Yeah. Apparently in the comments, everybody's talking about how much they love each other when I leave the room. So I don't know what that's about.
You're the scary boss.
But Jan, thank you very, very much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Everyone loves having you, and you helped raise a bunch of money for the Magnolia Tree Foundation, so thank you.
Gosh, I was super excited about doing the podcast. I'm going to be listening for the rest of the day, and just have a great time.
Now, this said if we get to over 4,000, we'll have Jan back, but we're actually only about $250 away from that goal. So I'll say 5,000 more, Jan. 5,000 more, Jan, everyone. I'm just going to keep raising the bar because people clearly want more of you.
Well, thanks, everybody.
If we get to 10,000, I'll never show up again.
I will only do my podcast with Adam. If we get to 10,000, I will only do podcast. Adam and I will start our own podcast. Yeah. It's going to be F this, movie this.
I like it. Whoa. Meta.
So thanks again.
Thank you
shout
so much.
Out to everyone in the F This Movie community. I love you all. Thank you so much to Patrick for being my friend for all these years and
thank
for
you.
Getting me involved. And okay, Howdy Scouty.
Okay.
I don't
Hi,
know.
Jen.
Do I just
thank
take
you.
Them
yeah,
off
you
drop
can just
them?
Drop your cans. I'll turn off your mic here.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jan. Are you going to go hang out with my kids?
Yeah, probably.
Nice.